Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I'm your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about transition times. So there's tricky times at the beginning and end of day where you're transitioning from you taking care of the child to the parents or vice versa. And for that, I have a wonderful guest. She's been here before. She's a podcast favorite, Leah Friars. Hi, Leah.
Hello. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you. This subject is one that I asked you to do in particular because it's something that you've been somewhat struggling with, finding methods to help with these transition times, especially end of day. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that.
That sounds great.
But let's start with beginning of day.
Okay.
Which I think is the slightly easier of the two.
Definitely.
Because there's, for all of my nanny families, beginning of day, there's more of a definite like leave time. Mm-hmm. And there's like, it has to happen.
Yes.
By a certain time.
Yes.
So if you get there at 7:30, usually the parents are out the door like 7:45 mm-hmm. at the latest. So it's a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And more cut and dry.
Definitely. There's an easier routine in the morning for sure.
Yes. I completely agree. And usually the kids are like still waking up. So
yes. They're more
they're like, okay, processing yeah. things. But for kids, because the one of the main tricky areas for the beginning of the day is kids who suffer from separation anxiety.
Yes.
There's potential that can lead to a really tricky morning.
Yeah. And I've also had the situation where the kid is still sleeping and the parents have to leave. And they just aren't sure if they should wake the kid up to say goodbye to them or let them wake up on their own and kind of figure out that their parents aren't there anymore.
Right.
And no matter how long you've been nannying for this family, the kids still get upset that their parents aren't there.
So every freaking time.
Yeah. So figuring out like how to even transition that when they're not there.
Right.
And you have to come up with the transition on your own.
Yeah.
Without them being there.
Which, have you had ways that has gone well?
Yeah. So normally like our transitions go, we have like these handshakes and like little waves that we do out the window to their parents when they're leaving, which Aww. Usually works very well. And then they know that, okay, the parent's gone. Like now we're moving over. Let's play with what we're playing with. But there are those times when, like I said, the kid hasn't woken up yet. So he comes downstairs. I have nanny for two boys, so I'm going to use the he pronouns.
Fair.
Just clarifying. He'll come downstairs and ask for his mom, and his mom's not there. And I have to say, like, she had to go to work, but she loves you and misses you, and she'll be back. And he just is beside himself. And mm-hmm. A lot of the time we'll do like videos or make little pictures. Like I have apps on my phones where you can edit photos and like write things on them. Or Snapchat has also been huge. Shout out to Snapchat.
Yes.
It's been a huge lifesaver for those like downtimes like that where we can like put on silly faces and wigs and, you know, whatever it's going to make you look like and send a video to the mom to let them know that we're thinking about them, also to the dad too.
Yes.
We're thinking about you, like we were sad that you weren't here this morning, but it's going to be okay. And then usually the mom will send a text back. She can't usually like send a video or a picture, but a text back, like laughing or saying something sweet to the kid so that he knows that it's going to be okay. Mommy's coming back. Grown-ups always come back. Daniel Tiger, shout out. What?
Yes. Love Daniel Tiger.
Yeah, we do a lot of those songs too. Daniel Tiger's been super helpful for transition times.
Yep.
Yes.
And then with the phone, another thing that I have done is if you, on an iPhone, if you turn it sideways, it turns to that like picture where you can draw something.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty new, but I've let the kids draw a picture and sent that picture to the parents.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's a really easy way that the kids are like, I'm, you know, contributing, because sometimes with kids that are so young, they can't text. So Snapchat's a great thing too, but they can't like text what they want to say.
Right.
And so
and
to
a
have
lot of
them,
the time they don't want to say anything.
Right.
They just like want the hug or whatever it is.
And, so,
you know, some days are easier than others. Some days Snapchat doesn't even work and you just have to give him a little extra hug and sit with him a little longer until he gets distracted and starts to think about something else. And I also try to do that a lot too. Like if they're so upset beside themselves, like trying to get their brain focused on something else. Like,
yes.
Hey, do you see something round in this room? Or just like simple things that they will be able to pick out, to discuss, to do something that they're interested in.
Right. And with some kids, I know this isn't necessarily true of your nanny kids, but with some kids, if I have breakfast ready, if I have to wake them up, but like breakfast is ready, that's a huge help of like, we can get right down to eating breakfast.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's a lot of things. They miss their parents.
Right.
They're still sleepy and they're starving.
Yeah.
Because it's been 12 hours since they've eaten. So that is helpful.
Yeah.
I say that about Leah's nanny kids.
They don't like to eat.
They don't. Food is not
they would
really
play.
Big incentive for them.
No. I can't bribe them with that.
But for some kids, it's a huge incentive.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, just depending on your nanny kids. But the things that I heard on the Facebook groups over and over again was having a routine, which can get tricky because sometimes there's not a routine. Sometimes family situations are such that it's going to be leaving
different it every day.
A different every day. But you can still have a routine for when the parents are leaving and communicating with the parents about that, of like, before you leave, like we've been having some issues with that leaving time.
Yeah.
So let's make a routine that stays the same every time. So a family that I've nannied for in the past, they would do a hug and a kiss, and then they would draw a heart on their daughter's hands and kiss it. And then leave right after that. And so then when the child missed their parents, they could look at the heart on their hand. And it's like a secret thing for them, too, of they
That's
can,
awesome.
Like, hold it.
Yeah.
And so that was really helpful and a good routine, a successful routine that I have seen parents employ.
That's really great. I also think it's important to, when you have routines in place like that, to make it just that routine and then you're out the door. Because I've also been around families that the child doesn't want them to leave, so they'll come back inside the house to do another hug and another kiss. And I'm like, you just need to leave.
Right.
Because it's not going to get any easier.
Right.
Like once they know that you're going to come back, they'll try to make you come back every time.
Right.
And it does. It slows it down. And then they're late for work. And
and then they're stressed and you're stressed.
And then the kid's still upset. But then they know that's kind of like their little manipulation game, that they know that you're not going to leave right when you say you're going to leave.
Right.
You'll come back in for that extra hug.
Which also, thinking about it this way, of if you can keep your word that you are going to leave when you say you're going to leave, you'll keep your word that you're going to come back at the end of the day.
Right.
And so to explain that to the parents, which I know sometimes as nannies it's difficult to do, but we are professionals.
Yeah.
And we have done this with a lot of times many, many different kids.
Yeah.
And so telling the parents, like, these are the things that I have seen work, and you know, what do you think that we could do in this house that would work for this house?
Yeah.
and would help with this situation because it's very difficult in the mornings.
Yeah. And I will say that even the coming back to give the extra hug or the extra kiss, it doesn't affect the child's emotions once you're actually gone. Like, they're still going to act the same whether you've given them one kiss or whether you've given them seven.
Right.
Like, so, yeah.
Yeah. I also have in the past with kids that, you know, have that really big explosion of emotions right when the parents are leaving. And then 2 minutes later, they're fine.
Exactly. And I understand as a parent, that's got to be one of the hardest things in the world to see. And to like leave your child in a state of distress like that.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, it's over in 2 minutes.
And then I always send a picture of them doing, them like having moved on.
Yes.
And I'm like, we're all good here. Yeah. Like, I know that was tough.
They want to know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But being there for the parent, too, I think is important.
Oh, yeah.
And because reinforcing.
That's why they don't leave right on time.
Yeah.
It's that working parent guilt, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which I totally get. But
right.
Yeah.
I also, I used to teach at Goldfish Swim School.
Mm-hmm.
And something that they really do well there, I think, because a lot of kids are very nervous about swimming, which makes sense.
Yeah. Like, let me throw you in this giant tub of water.
Exactly. Although I will say, like, shout out to Goldfish. They are one of the safest swimming facilities.
That's awesome.
And they're Ellis trained, which is like above CPR, above Red Cross. It's they've never had a drowning.
That's awesome.
Ellis. Anyway, shout out to that. But in their program, they will be like, you have to leave. So they have a deck teacher who's like responsible for running kind of errands.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the deck teacher's job to be like, I will help your child transition into class, but you need to
that's awesome.
To get off the deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do that gently. But I was watching the other day as they did this, and the child was like holding on to like different articles of clothing as they like ripped him away, which is so hard and painful. But the mom did it, and I was like from afar really proud of her.
Yeah.
And then the kid was fine.
Yes, because out of sight, out of mind. Like, if you don't see your parent, you're not going to cry. This is why, like, when children fall down and get hurt, they look around to see if someone has seen it.
Right.
If somebody has seen it, they'll start crying. If nobody's seen it, they'll pick themselves up and walk away.
Yeah, because they're like, I'd rather be playing than just crying for no one.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that, I think, is really important to communicate to the parents that a routine and just like do the routine and then you have to leave and you have to be gone.
Yeah.
Make sure you got all your stuff gathered.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you come back even because you forgot something,
right,
then we got to do it all over again.
Yeah, and actually I have a situation too where the parents leave at different times,
which
also makes things a little different. Some of the times it's better because then we can get going and get out of the house. And then it's just a run upstairs and say goodbye.
Right.
Before we leave. So that makes it a little easier because then the kid has to say goodbye because the kid is off doing something fun and has to leave. But other times they're coming down to take the child to school and it's just like the staggered school start times. So that's a little hard too because you know, at that age, he's four. He can't tell time.
Right.
So like I have to, it's kind of sad, but I have to talk time to him in terms of TV shows. So I'll be like, Daddy's gonna be down in one TV show. So you know how long that is.
Like,
what can we fit into one TV show? I'll give you five options and like you get to pick what we're gonna do.
But
and then once he knows he's down,
TV show times too.
That's the only like time frame they know, I think.
I agree. Or like because they do goldfish classes. I can say like
that's good.
It's one goldfish class.
Yeah.
Because they're half an hour.
Yeah, that's good too.
Which is a little longer than your standard TV show.
Sure.
But
with commercials.
Yeah, with commercials.
Yeah.
We don't watch commercials anymore.
I know. Who does that? Fast forward through that.
Yeah. Or just
it's just recorded.
Netflix.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's a really good point too, of like that staggered leaving.
Yeah.
Luckily most of the parents that I've worked for
have left at the same time.
Yeah, have left at the same time, or they work from home, so they just go upstairs when it's time. But one thing, so I put out some feelers on some of the Facebook groups, and Mary Morales Calderon, which it's a wonderful name. And I looked it up on pronunciation. I really hope I said it right, Mary. If I didn't, I'm sorry.
It sounds dope.
that's the problem with going from a reading, a visual medium, to an auditory medium. But anyway, she said that with preschool and older children, what she would do is get a book, a brand new to those kids book for every day. So that was part of their routine, was that the parents would leave and then they would get to read the new book. And she said she pulled from her own collection, but she was also like the library, like Chicago Public Library is full of books, and any library is, I mean, I walk in there and I just am overwhelmed with how many children's books there are. So that one is, I think, just a really great idea.
Yeah, I love that.
She also mentioned that she would sometimes theme it. And so, like, with holidays or something that, like, was happening in their lives, that she would bring in books about that, which I think is such a good idea.
That is such a good idea.
One of the kids I nanny, when I drive them home from, like, physical activities, he's been really into, like, asking me these really big questions. So this would be a good thing to do, because, like he asked me what a king is the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, why doesn't America have a king? And I just...
It's a good question.
I know. They're really good questions. And so we are going to the library to research it. You know, I answered as best I could, but we're going to learn more. Because I was thinking about the difference between, like, a king in a fairy tale and a modern-day king is huge.
Totally.
Total sidebar, but it was a fascinating thing. So to bring in books that answer questions that are already on their minds,
For sure.
I think really engages them in an awesome, fun way.
I think that's also a really great way to get books more involved in their lives too, because when the children that I nanny were much younger, like, that used to be an activity for us, is reading.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so much other stimulation that they have, toys, iPad, TV, whatever, even though their screen time is like set at a certain amount of time, but just they don't prefer books. They will not choose books as an activity. So, like, they know that nap time and, like, time before bed is book time.
Mm-hmm.
So they associate it with, like, they have to go to bed.
Right.
So bringing books back in as, like, a recreational activity is such a great idea.
And a, like, beginning of day activity.
Beginning of day, yes. Get your mind moving, get it working, get you thinking about things. I love that.
And if you are going to do an activity that, like, go to the zoo, you could bring in a book that, like, preps them to...
For the day ahead.
Yeah, for the day ahead. So you could do, like, a rhinoceros book, and then when you go to the zoo and you visit the rhinoceroses, they...
I
think it's rhinoceroses. I
think so, too. Octopi.
Octopi. Rhinoceroses.
Yes.
But they can, like, you can then talk about what you read that morning.
Yeah.
So, such a good idea,
that
Mary.
That's great. Thank you, Mary.
I think that I will be using that.
Even though
my kids don't have separation anxiety.
Yeah. It's still a fun thing for them.
Yeah.
It gets their day moving.
Which we
sometimes have trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, again, they don't have a sense of time.
Right.
So when I do make plans with them, they don't understand that we got to get moving throughout the day. Like, they just think, oh, I've got, like, 8 hours before we have to do that one thing. No.
Yeah.
8 hours in the day is over, my friend. We got to get moving.
We got to go.
Yeah.
And then another resource that we've actually already done an episode about, but it's one of the best things I've ever used for separation anxiety, particularly, is the Magic Box, which I think is episode 3, maybe 4.
Definitely early on.
And I won't go too much into it, but Katie Leineke developed this system for kids that she nannied that were having separation anxiety, where every day after their parents leave, they get to open the Magic Box, and inside was a game or a toy or a clue as to what they were going to do with their day. So, like, passes to a museum or, like, the library card or something like that. Something exciting about their day, which is a similar idea to the book idea.
Yeah.
But a little different spin on it. So if you want to know more about that, go listen to the Magic Box episode, because it's a really good one.
Yeah. and just more tools like that to get kids excited about starting their day. Because when their parents are leaving, it makes them distraught, right. and distressed, and you need to pull them out of that.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
Those are great.
Yeah. So then let's
transition
to the end of the day, which I find a trickier transition period. Oh, yes. Some things right away that I have over my years of nannying discovered are having that communication log so that you're not having to spend 15 minutes just telling the parent, like,
what
they pooped at noon and they didn't eat very many carrots today and things like that. So having that communication log already in place that you're filling out throughout the day has, like, made my transition times way better.
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't do a log, but I do give updates throughout the day, which is basically the same thing. Yeah. I'm just not writing it down to have, you know, forever. but I do think that the end of the day is the hardest time, especially because it's the end of the day and the kids are wiped. And like, no matter what happened, no matter if they had like a full nap or not, it's, you know, everyone's hungry, everyone's tired, everyone just wants to watch TV and like zone out.
Right.
And it is the hardest time of the day. And I feel bad that that's when the parents are getting them back, you know, so you don't want them to be like complete and utter monsters when they're going back to their parents who haven't seen them all day, because then the parents have to discipline and then they feel like they're the bad guy.
Right.
And that you've had them all day and they've been all nice. And I've had several times where their mom is usually the one that gets home first. She'll ask me like, have they been like this all day? And I have to like, you know, tell her no, they haven't. But also, you know, they're tired and we do things differently. So like they know some things that they can get away with me, they can't get away with their mom, or vice versa. So I feel like it's also the transition for them in their little child minds of like, who do I have to like set my mind for? Like, what can I do right now that someone is going to let me do this or not let me do this, that kind of thing. So it is hard, but I feel like it also is important in the same respect as you did in the morning to have the routine for you as the nanny.
Yes.
Whereas like you're only going to be there for a certain amount of time when their parents get home. You're going to update them on whatever needs to be updated, kiss them, hug them, high five them, whatever it is, and then get out the door. And the same thing, like say you're going to leave and leave.
Yes.
So that their parents have the same transition that you did in the morning.
Right. Which is a good common courtesy, but then also is really good to help you get out the door because we know as nannies we love our nanny charges, but you're also ready to go.
You're ready to go,
especially on those like 10 11 12 hour days.
Yep. And I've had like several times where I'll have said goodbye to them and they've not realized it or heard it or weren't paying attention. And I leave, and then I get a phone call.
Oh, no.
And the child is just screaming bloody murder because he didn't get to say goodbye. Even though he did, he just didn't remember it.
Right.
So I've had to, like, you know, switch up my transitions with, like, you know, specifically for each kid so that they know that I'm giving them their special time to say goodbye. Now with the older one, he's been getting into gymnastics. We do like these little flips with him. He gets to do a fast flip, a slow flip, and then a normal flip.
That's adorable.
A big giant hug, and then I'm out the door. The other one doesn't want to give me the time of day. He'll just nod his head. Goodbye.
He's like, see you tomorrow. But yeah, that's such a good thing to do is have that routine.
Yeah.
And I probably need a little bit more of that in my nannying.
Yeah.
I'm realizing as we talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Something else that someone suggested on one of the Facebook groups is that they would do a routine with the kids before the parents even got home.
Oh.
So like every day at 5 o'clock, they would clean everything up, do a general cleanup, and then get the coloring stuff out and just color until the parents got home. And that's a really great idea.
Yeah.
I do wonder, with my kids, I have a feeling that they would get bored with that a little bit. But I think you could change up that activity.
Yeah.
Maybe even like Monday is coloring. Tuesday is we read a book.
That's also good based off of the children that I nanny go to, like a preschool, or well, one of them still does. One of them's in kindergarten. But at that school, they at a certain time, they have the same thing where like everything gets cleaned up and mm-hmm. then you have like two or three stations open.
Oh, yeah.
That you can choose which one you want to do, but only those three.
That's a good idea.
Which is another that based off of that. But that's like what they do at school. So transferring that to their home would be even better.
Yeah.
So that they still have the same kind of routine that they're going through.
And then if they are involved in that, you have a little bit more time to talk to the parents yeah. about anything that happened that needs to be reported.
Definitely.
Because sometimes the communication log, you're like, this is too much to write.
Yep, exactly.
They fell, but they didn't really get hurt.
Right. I'll just tell you the story when you get here.
Yeah, exactly.
I think another thing that the mom used to do, again, she gets home before the dad does a lot, but she used to do this a lot when they were little, which I think helped a lot, was that she would also transition from being like, I was just at work, to now I'm home with you in my play clothes also.
Yes.
And now, like, you know that I'm settling in for the evening. I'm not going anywhere. Now is our family time, mm-hmm. which I think helped a lot. Especially when they were younger,
yeah.
because then, you know, they could play on mommy and not have to like worry about jewelry or nice clothes or like getting food places. And so I think that's another.
Yeah. Some nanny families I've worked for do that as well. Mm-hmm. They're like, do you mind staying while yeah. I change? And I'm like, no, not at all. Please like, do please that. Do. Yeah. And then I think that that routine helps with the monster effect of mm-hmm. like when the parents yeah. get home, and I've seen it time and time again on the nanny groups, that it's like they were angels all day and then the parents get yeah. home and they're monsters. So some advice that I have for that is make sure they are fed. Mm-hmm. Like that afternoon snack time is really important. And I have nannied for kids that don't necessarily want that afternoon snack.
Yeah.
But I cannot stress enough what a difference it makes
yeah.
to just be like, you got to pick something.
Yeah.
Pick a fruit.
Yes.
There's lots here.
Yeah.
Let's do
and
it.
And I even do dinner with the family. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that if they're not have eaten already, they're eating when she gets there, which I actually right. prefer, because then she's able to sit with them at the table, talk to yes. them about their day while they're focused on eating instead of playing or doing whatever else they're doing.
Yeah.
Which has been a huge help.
That's a really.
Yeah. But definitely having the food in their belly. Ugh.
Yeah. And like if they're tired, maybe doing a little, not like actual nap downtime, but like, yeah, a rest or like something more quiet, mm-hmm. like coloring or mm-hmm. reading a book or something like that right before the parents get home, so that they're not just wound exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or wound up if they have been running around like crazy and then the parents get home and they want to ask them about their day.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, no, I'm running.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do think having like for that time frame mm-hmm. that the parents are probably coming home to have that. Now, that is another thing that is a little tricky, is sometimes parents don't get home at the same time right. every day, or you have no idea when they're coming home. And so something that I have done with that is that I will often ask the parent, can you text me when you leave work?
Mm-hmm.
So if it is, if transition times at the end of day are somewhat problematic, then I will say, can you text me when you're leaving work so that we can like start our routine
yeah.
to help transition.
Yeah, that's great.
Out mm-hmm. of the day. And the parent was totally fine with it.
Yeah.
And understood
yeah.
and was grateful that
yeah.
I asked for that. So that's a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
To help with that transition.
And then instead of them like asking, when is mom going to be home? When is dad going to be home? They know, and you can get them excited about when they actually do start
yes.
to get home.
Yes. Yeah. You can say they're headed home.
Yeah, they're on
It'll
their
be
way. So we
about
need to do something
minutes.
Exciting before they get here. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Let's make them a card.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Or
meet them at
like
the
that.
Door.
Right. Yeah. 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 Do you go look out the window? Are they there?
Yeah.
Things like that. And then there's also when the kids don't want you to leave. And that's such a tricky situation.
That is the trickiest, I think.
Because it potentially hurts the parents' mm-hmm. feelings. Although I'm sure that they're happy that their kids love you so much.
Yeah,
but there's
for sure.
potential that they they could be jealous or hurt by the fact that their kids would rather spend time with the nanny.
And I feel like a lot of that is, so it's the same. I feel like a lot of these transitions in the morning and the evening are the same. They're just kind of flipped.
Mm-hmm.
So I was where in the morning, the child only wants their parents.
Right.
And their parents do such a good job of deferring some of those decisions and some of those tasks to you as mm-hmm. the nanny. In the same way, you kind of have to do that in the evening. Like,
yes.
You know, and I feel like it's less hurtful for you in the evening to do right. that. Whereas like in the morning, the parents don't want it. They want to do everything. They want their child to want them.
Right.
Of course. So then when it happens in the evening, you just kind of deferring those decisions and those tasks. Like a lot of times the kids will ask me, am I done eating? And when the parent's home, even though I did the whole dinner routine,
mm-hmm.
I'll say, well, let's see what mommy thinks. Or like, you know, ask your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even just deferring those decisions to the parent, they know that I'm not in charge anymore.
Right.
And that I'm not going to be there. So like that helps start the transition to me, because then the mom's going to make all, or the dad is going to make all the decisions. And
right.
like, I'm not there anymore to do that with you.
Yes. So I think that is very helpful.
Yeah. It's a little bit helpful, but yeah, that is a really tricky time.
And then also I think knowing that on the flip side as nannies, they might stop crying 2 seconds after we leave, you know?
Yes.
Like yeah. keeping that in mind
right.
that we've been on the other side. So we know that sometimes it is just, it's hard.
Yeah.
Change is hard.
Yeah. And I try to make it, because they're not my children, they're not my flesh and blood, I try to make it as casual as possible. Like,
right.
oh, don't worry. Like, I'm going to be here tomorrow. We're going to have yeah. so much fun. It's going to be great. Like, don't even cry about it. It's fine.
Sometimes I tell them to think about something for us to do tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
or
good.
To, like, can you think about this for me tonight, and then we'll talk about it more
yeah,
tomorrow.
Like, remember that question that you had today? Like, I'm going to go do some research.
Yeah.
Like, you go do some research, and maybe you can ask your mom and dad what they think. We'll pull our resources together. And
right.
Yeah, that's good.
Get them excited about the next day.
Yeah.
And then having a routine for you leaving
mm-hmm.
Is also, so wave to me from the window
yep.
or like high five, you know, booty shake,
yep.
and then I'm out.
Then I'm out the door. Here's my honk. You heard it.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Bye. Yeah. yeah, I think that is really important, and something that sometimes we as nannies forget, that we're also, they love us.
Yeah.
We're caretakers
yeah.
too. And so that's hard for them.
Yeah.
And we can solve it in the same way that we encourage parents to solve it.
Exactly.
Is by having that routine. One other aspect of end of day that I find tricky is when the kids have told you about their day. And then when the parents ask the kids, like, how was your day? And they just are like, it was fine. And they don't.
Somebody already asked me.
Yeah.
I've already
told all the details.
Yeah.
And so something that I've done to help combat that is encouraging the kids to come up with 3 things that they want to tell their
good.
Dad or their mom,
yeah.
whoever gets home first, about their day.
Because mm-hmm.
I find that 2, they can do, you know, the best part of their day, worst part of their
day.
But then having them come up with that 3rd one really pushes them to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that. Because a lot of times I'll try to get the kids to talk about their day right away, because I know that once they're home and once we've started a new activity, it's just completely gone. Like a lot of the time when I ask, they've already forgotten
right.
about what's happened in their day.
Yeah.
So I have to try to like ask specific questions to get it out of them. And you know, a lot of the times like the schools will update the families on what they mm-hmm. did that day, which is super helpful. But to get details and stuff, I'll ask the kids so that I know, so that
right.
by the time their parents come home, I can kind of give them like prep questions like,
right.
well, did you tell mom about this specific thing? Or like, did you tell dad that you went here on a field trip? And
yeah,
just to help that along. But I like the specific asking 3 questions or like wanting 3 things to say to your parents is really good. That's
yeah.
super helpful.
And with the specific questions idea, yes, we talked last week about asking very specific questions, not how is your day, mm-hmm. To make those bids for an invitation into their day.
Yeah.
So there's a list that I will have already posted, or I will post at this point, of different questions to ask instead of how is your day.
Yeah.
That are like, who did you play with?
Yeah.
What books did you read? Did you go down the slide at all today? Did you play outside or inside?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes with the weather in Chicago, yeah. I'm like, I honestly
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It depends on when
did
you're...
Did we dress you right for the day?
Yeah, because that's also good feedback that yeah. I need to know. Yeah,
exactly.
Things like that. And so asking more specific questions.
Yeah.
If you know that they like get a different job. Some of the kids mm-hmm. I nanny go to a Montessori school, and so yeah. they have different jobs that they're in charge of. So what was your job today?
Yeah.
Things like that.
I like to do things like that too, that are specific about me. If I can't get them to open up, mm-hmm. I'll start to say things about my day. Like, I saw early in the morning a baby bird in a bird's nest. Isn't that so cool? Like, what was something cool that you saw today? Like, yeah. even if it wasn't in your school, something outside.
But leading by example.
Yeah. So that they're like, okay, well, she told me about her day. Fine. I'll give her something.
I'll give her a morsel.
Fine. But that's all you get.
And then I'm playing with Legos.
Don't ask anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Is there anything else that you can think of about end of day transition?
Really. I feel like a lot of it is, you know, I defer to the parents a lot on mm-hmm. decisions and things
especially
like that.
End of day. I like that mm-hmm. philosophy.
Yeah. Just to... So that they know that, you know, I know that you're in control
mm-hmm.
and so do the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we expect that courtesy from the parents.
Exactly.
And so I think giving
and
that
I
back
is like
really great.
And I feel like separation anxiety is going to be good because it shows like these kids have emotions. They mm-hmm. love you. They love us. It's all good. We're all here for the same reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all here to support the kids.
Yeah.
So, well, wonderful. Well, if... you are listening to this and have an idea or a question about something that we said, please email in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. And Nania is spelled N-A-N-N-Y-A. I would love to answer any questions, or if you have a cute story from a transition time that maybe didn't go exactly right, but it ended up being funny. I would love to hear those stories too. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Chronicles of Nania will get you there every time. I think the Twitter handle is technically Nania Podcast, but if you type in Chronicles of Nania,
it's the only one.
And so we end each episode with a fun story or a quote from the kids we nanny. And this week, Taryn, who has been on the podcast, mm-hmm. Group chatted Leah and I, so I'm gonna share her story because it's too cute.
And her little one has definitely been the source of these stories and quotes.
Yeah. Well, let you guess exactly which ones, but they're pretty great. So apparently her nanny kid, who is almost three, started yelling, ah, and Taryn said, what? And she goes, there's a bug. And Taryn goes, oh, that's fine. He's really small and he won't hurt you. And this little girl goes, but this is not his home. He snuck in here. I'll get him with my shoe. And then Taryn, trying to encourage empathy, mm-hmm. was like, don't hurt him. He's so small and he's scared of you and you're much bigger. And the little girl got it. She said, oh, okay, I guess that's mean to squish him with my shoe.
It is. It's mean to squish anyone with your shoe.
Yeah. But especially a little bug that can't defend itself.
That's
I know.
Great.
I love that too.
Yeah.
This is not his home.
He snuck it in here.
I also get that feeling of like out in nature,
oh, yes.
that's your territory, yes. little bugs. But when you're in my home, mm-hmm. sometimes I don't squish them with my shoe. I do try to get them outside.
Yes. If I can.
If I can. But
sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, spider.
My mom is a second grade teacher and she's had lizards for quite a bit of time. And so sometimes we'll put the bugs in there, depending on what bug it is, because I don't want to kill the lizard.
Right.
But if it's like a cricket.
Yeah.
Hell
do
yeah.
you get crickets in the classroom?
Yeah,
I guess
she did have that happen one time. Yep. Yep, Tennessee.
Good old Tennessee.
Yep, that's where I'm from. Well, thank you so much, Leah.
Thank you.
This was a blast.
So much
as
fun.
Always. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nannia is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nannia and on Twitter at Nannia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnannia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.